Blog Talk Radio.
Unmuted. I love it. Hello, race fans. How the hell are you? Woo, doggy. I don't know about y'all, but it's hot where I am. I tell you what, glad to be here tonight. There's no football on TV, no racing on TV. You have no reason at all not to be with us and join us here for this hour long discussion about racing. Craig, good to have you here. How the hell are you?
Well, you know what? I'm hotter than a witch's tit in Louisiana, let me tell you.
Oh, it's miserable down here. This is, you
me
know,
too.
Y'all are miserable in the wintertime up there. And, I mean, and I say misery because it damn near doesn't get out of the teens for your highs sometimes in the wintertime. We don't really have to worry about that down here, but boy, oh boy, Craig Moore, we pay for it in the summertime.
Well, I will tell you that we are the heat index for Saturday. They are projecting for Mayfield, New York, to be 121 degrees. And guess who has a weekend off this weekend? This guy right here. Thank God, because I did a gig a few years ago in about 95 to 98 degree weather outside. And ended up going to the ER afterward.
Yeah.
I was sicker than a dog. I was calling my Uncle Ralph every three or four songs.
Ralph.
But I finished the gig, man, let me tell you. But, yeah, we had a couple of things that were close, and then they didn't come through. So we were close, just like Stewie was last week at Kansas, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Oh, gosh, I'm telling you, Stewie, you got to get the monkey off your back. NASCAR impounded his truck, as we know, but surprisingly, Craig Moore, NASCAR took no penalty towards them. So, obviously, they were not hindering anything that was outside the box, and if so, there would have been a penalty. I'm not sure that NASCAR directly approved of what was in question there, but there again, they didn't disapprove it. So, good job to those boys at Friesen-Halmer.
Halmar Friesen
for thinking outside the box there, and.
Funny that you say outside the box because it was the firewall that was in question.
Yeah, that was kind of inside the box.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right, we're going to start a new hashtag on this show. You know how NASCAR America has on Wednesday nights on Motor Mouth, hashtag let me say this or
yeah.
Let's move on or wherever the hell it is. We're going to start a new hashtag on Race Chat Live, hashtag let Craig talk.
Oh, wow. I hear you. Well, let me tell you something. Before I let you talk, I have had a day that I'll never forget. And watch out, America.
You didn't get arrested again, did you?
I have a legal driver's license to drive again. So y'all better
Jesus.
Watch out. I'm going to be working on how I lose them again the next time. So I hope not. But, yeah, 5 hours at the DMV will kind of wear your ass out. So I'll be more than happy to sit back. I do have a couple of topics that I want to discuss tonight. But, Craig Moore, we didn't do a pre-show. I want to hear what's been on Craig Moore's mind. What's grinding Craig's gears?
Well, I'm really pissed off and a little upset at how Kurt Busch got left out in Kansas by his whiny-ass little brother, Kyle. Now, Kyle's reason for that was simple. He and Samantha had to get home because, unlike Kurt, Kyle knows how to slip one past the goalie. So Bexton was going to get up at about 8 o'clock in the morning, and they wanted to make sure that they were home by the time, and in bed by the time Bexton got up at 8 o'clock.
You're feeding me this BS. If Kyle Busch would have won that race, he would have got home at 4:30 in the morning, and guess who would have got home at 4:30 with it?
Who?
The guy catching a ride, Kurt Busch. Around in victory lane celebrating his brother's win. But no, you know, Brad Keselowski said years ago, Kyle Busch is an ass.
Yeah, well, we all know that. But that's what makes him Kyle Busch. And he said something else, and I didn't write it down, but I mentioned it to Dana as we were watching it last night. He mentioned Dale Earnhardt, but he didn't mention him by name. And he said, the guy that drove the black car, or something to that effect. And I looked over at the boss lady in the house, and I said, that was kind of freaking rude. She says, well, then again, look who you're talking about.
My gosh. Y'all just love coming at old Kyle Busch, don't you?
Hey, man, I don't even know where Mr. CJ Sports is at. He's probably...
He's not
going
to be here tonight. He's listening to us, but he has no way of communicating to us. We took his phone away out of the studio, so he's sitting back. He's listening to us, and he'll respond to us by messaging if need be.
Well, that's all right. Well, great.
I know people are scratching their head right now. They say, well, Chris, you just called Kyle Busch an ass. No, I didn't call Kyle Busch an ass. Brett Keselowski called Kyle Busch an ass. But as for you talk about the whiny tit of Kyle Busch, but I'm so tired of hearing the whiny tit bashers of Kyle Busch. I mean, seriously, it's like y'all whine more than Kyle Busch.
If we were on video chat right now, which I'm glad we're not, because we'd have had flashbacks of 2 years ago when I was in Pennsylvania, but I would give you the crying look, wiping the tears out of my eyes, how you're making fun of me.
Because
I'm sitting in front of my laptop with no shirt on.
Beautiful. Sport those chest hairs, buddy.
That's right. That's what God gave them to me for. I can't help. I have more than you.
Well, I was blessed down below. So.
Well, that's
below
right.
The bell. Below the bell.
Shout over the bell. So, now, let's talk about that finish in the race.
What a finish
Kyle
it was, Craig
this.
Moore. What a
Kyle,
finish it was. I am replaying that finish right now in my head as they go a mile and a half from the start-finish line with one lap to go to the end. Craig Moore, that's what racing is about. Cut me off. What do you got to say, man? What did you think about it?
Absolutely, and Kyle said it best, and I'm not going to bash Kyle. I'm actually going to give him some kudos. He said, if that was anybody else, he'd have probably wrecked him for the win. But because that was his brother, he cut him a little slack.
Yeah.
He said, and I was driving harder and deeper into the turns than I had done all night long. He says, I had one eye on him and one eye on the track. He says, I was driving out my side window. He says, and I thought I had him for a second. He says, and then he came back. He says, and I thought, if I don't lift, I'm going to take out half the field.
Isn't that amazing that we coined the phrase the week before, never lift, and then we had a finish a week later that basically come down to, you know why Kurt Busch won that race? Because he didn't lift. And Kyle Busch said it himself. He said, I was going into that last corner, and I knew I had to burp the throttle, And I just waited until, and the moment that he did, he realized that Kurt never lifted. And so that
right.
was, you know, he stood on it, buddy.
And you know, he knew that if he didn't lift, he would have wrecked half the field. So that to me shows a maturity that we didn't think Kyle Busch had. You know, he's got that checkers or wreckers mentality every week, and you need to have that in that sport, because if you don't, I mean, it's not going to do you any good. Oh, wait, let me retract that statement, because Ricky Stenhouse and his ex-girlfriend, Dicka Danica, had that, and she no longer races in the Monster Energy Cup Series. So you use that mentality at an opportune time, that it's checkers or wreckers. Kyle did the responsible thing and knew that if he didn't lift, he was going to take out his brother in half the field. And I think he was more worried about Kurt, because they were all getting together on Sunday for a cookout.
And I don't think that Kyle gave the race to Kurt. I think once again that Kyle uses his big boy baby brother mentality to get at Kurt Busch, to say that I might have given you a little bit of room there, and I might not have given somebody else that room, but you know what? If I'm Kurt Busch, I'm all smiles. I am all smiles, because he took a little team, and I didn't realize, Craig Moore, that team was basically a new team. That was not the Jamie McMurray team, that those were all new pit crew guys, and the crew chief, Matt McCall was the crew chief last year for Jamie McMurray. But basically, you know, he's taken a rookie team and put him into victory lane, and he had to beat his brother to do it. If you had to beat anybody out there, who do you want to beat? You want to beat the best, right? And who's the best? Well, that's
your brother.
Unfortunately, like you said, his little brother. You know, he's won a lot of those races. But if I'm Kurt Busch, I'm not upset one bit that my brother said that he might have raced me a little bit cleaner than he would have somebody else, because, you know, we don't know how it turned out, but Craig, when that rear tire started smoking there just on the exit of turn one, when they made that first little clap together, I thought, you know, this is
oh,
it.
God,
you know, Kurt's going to blow a tire, and he put up a good fight. That wasn't the outcome, and somehow, some way, that Goodyear, you know, I'd hang that Goodyear on the wall next to the trophy, because I guarantee you it's got a cut mark in it somewhere where that fender touched it.
Oh, absolutely. Now, what I thought was funny, too, and then we'll go on to your topics, is Kurt said that, when he went over to Kyle's house the next day for the barbecue, he was going to take that fat-ass trophy, and he was going to stick it right in the center of the picnic table.
Yeah. Just to rub it in his face, right?
Absolutely. And we can't say that we wouldn't do the same thing, because you bet your ass I would. You bet your ass that I would take that trophy and stick it right there and go, I beat you, little brother. I beat the best of the best. And, you know, say what you want about Kyle, but he's a different breed. He's a different breed.
And he's moved into the beard and mustache stage. And if you remember...
Yeah, it looks like he's got pubic hair on his face.
And Dale Jr., Jimmy Johnson, all of them went through that phase, right? They went from the clean face phase to the bearded phase. So that, you know, I mean, yeah, Kyle Busch is going to be the center of attention for the next 5 years, because whatever he's accomplished already, he's not done. Unlike some of the other drivers. And that brings me to Kurt Busch. Yeah, we might have just watched Kurt Busch in victory lane for the very last time. I mean, we don't know what his career is after this year. We don't know what he's planning on doing, and we know how hard it is to win one of these cup races. And so, a double celebration there for Kurt's long career and being able to win in near about anything that he's ever driven. He would have won in a James Finch machine, if I'm not mistaken, back in, 2011 or 2012, before he had I believe, brakes go bad or something. He was leading at Sonoma. So Kurt's near about winning everything that he's ever driven, and just celebrated a great finish, and could be, you know, we don't know, it could be the last of his career. There again, Craigmore, it could be on his, he could be on his way to a championship. We don't know.
And you know
I'll
what?
I'll tell you one person that's not on their way to a championship, and that's Jimmy Johnson. Bada bing, bada boom.
Well, yeah, but we probably, we can hate on Jimmy for a little while. That's all right. I'm not a Jimmy Johnson
fan. We beat that horse way too much. You know, that,
yeah,
that golden horseshoe turned upside down. Speaking of Chase Elliott, I'm surprised that the that nobody really paid attention to how he raced on that last lap. He was up in the wall. I almost wondered if a caution was going to be called on that one, Craig. Chase Elliott hit the wall pretty hard there on the last lap, and it was interesting that nobody could get an interview from him, right? Nobody could get an interview from him. You know why? Because he stormed off and jumped in his airplane and flew home. But now if you had another driver like Kyle Busch, he would have spent the whole next day on NASCAR radio talking about how Kyle Busch didn't stick around for media, you know?
Yeah. No, and I think that I don't care if you're a top-tier team like Chase Elliott or if you're a bottom feeder like
Matt Benedetto.
Yes. If the media requests your presence, your interview, that is your time. You might be pissed, but don't forget that you still have sponsors to satisfy.
Well, the golden child can get away with things that other people can't. We've seen this in the junior days. I don't think Junior ever denied an interview, but you know, we've seen Kyle Busch and it's one way and not the other, and that's kind of upsetting that nobody really brought attention to the fact that Chase Elliott was nowhere to be found for post-race interviews because he was sold up from a bad race. But you know what? We'll just give him that one.
Well, no, I think it's bullshit, but that's besides the point. I don't think that you should. I don't think that you should duck. I don't think you should duck a media request. Period.
Neither do I, Craig. I mean, that's what these fans. If without them, the sport is nothing, and we're suffering. And if he's everybody's golden child, then he should have the decency to put his face in front of a camera and explain what happened. Or, you know, even his frustration would have been better than completely ignoring it.
I mean, nobody wants to get in the microphone right away. But after a little while, you know, you got to say something. So, but that just shows that, like you said, he's the golden child. And that's all it takes. So now let's talk about your little four or five topics.
Well, and I'm not sure if I have that many, but I have something that is pretty disturbing, Craig, and I kind of don't know. You know, we're a show of topics and debates, and we pretty much are in our comfort zone when we discuss these things. But this one's a touchy subject, Craig Moore, and I'm gonna start out with the first incident. First incident of the week started on social media. A lady driver from Bowman Gray Stadium was arrested Saturday night at Bowman Gray Stadium, or Wednesday night, not sure, it may be Wednesday night. She was arrested for an assault charge. The assault happened in the pits with another driver, a male driver. And the female assaulted the male driver, and the male driver went and filed charges. And she hit him pretty good, Craig. I mean, she put one on the big boy. And the big boy got up in her face, and I'm not sure of his name, and I'm not really sure of her name, but this isn't necessarily the full extent of this, and I'll get to the main topic here in just a second. I've got a couple of different things that I'm working with right here. So you know, he had no business stepping up to nose length of her, and as you can see in one way that maybe she was protecting herself. Okay. The guy went down and filed some charges on her. She got arrested. You know, that's kind of the risk that you take when you hit somebody. On the other hand, Natalie Decker, on Thursday night, threw her a hissy fit with Spencer Boyd and went and got in his face and, well, knocked his hat off. Took his hat off his head and threw it on the ground. Craig, the moment she touched that other driver, that was assault, if we're in the real world. And unfortunately, the last phase of this topic is Haley Deegan has suspended all of her social media accounts. She turned 18 years old yesterday, and unfortunately, the worst of all people showed up. And Craig, what I'm about to say is very uncomfortable. And I don't even know how to say it because it's very uncomfortable. But the fact of it is this up-and-coming driver just turned 18 years old, and certain groups of people within our industry, within, you know, fans, decided to take that opportunity to show explicit pictures to her and by messenger. Craig, I'm disgusted. I'm revolted. I'm furious. I don't even know how to explain, as a father, the amount of terror that brings to me to think that there are such slimy people in this world that pray. If she was a kid yesterday, Craig, then she is still a kid today. Doesn't matter that she turned 18. And so my topic in all this, and like I said, Craig, I don't know where to go with this. I'm bringing the topic whether or not we debate it. This is the news. But, Craig, we've accepted the women into this industry with open arms. But there's three different cases here that are all kind of where do we go from here? I mean, I am sure that this is not the first female driver that has ever had nasty people approach her through direct messaging. And I just say it right now, perverts, okay? And I'm sure Danica Patrick has had them. I'm sure that every female star, Ronda Rousey, I'm sure every single one of them have had to deal with it. I'm sure even Natalie Decker has probably had to deal with this. It just wasn't promoted because it's kind of an embarrassing situation. But with the assault that happened at Bowman Gray Stadium, the way that Natalie acted Thursday night at the Kentucky race and basically put her hands on a male driver and, you know, I mean, did what I think, you know, more or less to me, it looked like, you know, what something my little sister would do, you know, when I might have gotten her in trouble and mama wasn't around, she'd come over there and try to pick a fight with me. And when I wouldn't, you know, budge to the fight, well, she'd, you know, either poke me in the chest or maybe, you know, do a little thing on the side of my cheek. You know, I mean, yeah, hey, some people show aggression sometimes, and I'm from a family that, you know, I'll be honest with you. It wasn't very much physical, but you know, if you did something that was kind of messed up and you probably ratted somebody else out, you probably got whatever you got from your siblings because, you know, that's your siblings and you're not supposed to do that. But this was not her sibling, Craig. And so we have three different situations here. Are we ready as a sport to rise above this, Craig? I mean, obviously in the situation with the two ladies that put their hands on a male driver, if that had gone the other way, Craig Moore, it would have been on every TV, on every news station, everywhere. It would have made your local news.
You wouldn't have been able to get away from it.
Huh?
You wouldn't have been able to get away from it.
No. And it would have been broadcasted in every outlet, whether it be some small news, big news, NASCAR news, ESPN news, Fox News. It would have been covered in every bit of the industry. Where do, as I said when I started this topic, I don't really know how to debate this. I don't really know how to even approach this topic. Is that the state of the sport right now? I would like to hear what you have to say about the three incidents that I've just told you that has happened in 1 week, sir. In 1 week, it seems like our industry has come unfolded.
Well,
I don't know where to go from here.
I'm still shocked about the whole. You said Haley, that was Haley Deegan, right? Because I didn't see anything come through.
Yes, Haley Deegan.
Okay, I'll touch on Haley in a few minutes. Natalie Decker laying her hands on another driver.
Well, she didn't really lay her hands on, but
she did
extract his hat from his head and throw it on the ground. I mean, that is in terminology, that's simple assault.
Correct. So in my mind, she laid her hands on another driver. The sanctioning body needs to take aggressive action because, like you said, if Spencer Boyd would have done that to her, oh my God, he'd have been a woman beater.
Careful. Careful. I've never said that before on air. But
No,
careful.
But this is me.
Yeah. We would picture him in a wife beater and, you know, a hat turned around backwards with some tattoos on his neck, right? I mean, really.
Right. He would be a thug. You know, he'd be what we have in my area, thugs. But it's the flip side, so it's kept quiet. Now, what was the very first one you said?
Bowman Gray Stadium, a female got into a altercation with a male driver. It turned physical after the male driver tried to walk off. She approached him again. He turned around, got within a nose length of her face, and she decked him. And she decked him, and he, you know, he didn't fall to the ground, but he took the punch, and then he is seen with his arm thinking about hitting her, but then stopped, and he went and filed charges against this female driver, and the female driver was arrested later on at Bowman Gray Stadium.
All right, so now. And I'm playing devil's advocate here again because neither one of us were there. You don't know. We don't know what she said to him for him to get up into her face, nose to nose, as they said. She may have said something irreprehensible. And it caught his attention. And he figured, all right, well, I can't hit this person because it's a female, but I sure as hell can get in her face. And did he know the possible consequences of him getting in her face? Absolutely. I'm going to tell you right now, if you get in Miss Dana's face like that, she's going to knock the teeth out of your throat. No questions asked. You get in my face like that, and I'm gonna thank you. And then if you get up in my face like that, she's gonna knock your teeth out. I won't even have to do it.
Right. Let's get past this, though.
So she may have felt threatened, but we don't know what was said by her. He didn't lay a hand on her. She was correct. They were correct to arrest her. What is this sport coming to? These guys at Bowman Gray, they are not making but probably more than $5,000 to win, if that. They could be making a little bit more. But because they do have that deal on Discovery or Motor Week or whatever it is. But, you know, it's not NASCAR, people. You're not racing for a $300,000 share of a $1 million purse. It brings a black eye to our sport. Now, the Haley Deegan incident. I am a father, like you. I have a 27-year-old daughter. God help the people that posted the video. Now, on the flip side of that, what the hell was she thinking making a video like that or allowing pictures to be taken like that?
No, it was coming from the males.
Wait a minute. Explain this again.
They were sending what we would know in social media world and as a something pic.
Okay. All right. So I thought it was the other way. I misunderstood you and thought that she was allowing provocative pictures to be taken. I just don't see where people get off doing that. And if you have that article and if you'd care to share it with me, I will read it quick. I wish we would have pre-gamed on this one because I would have been 100% ready. But, you know, I don't know what these people are thinking in these altercations. I mean, really, you're taking the sport backwards. And where a woman thinks that she can, huh?
I agree.
But
racing is a lot of physical contact, Craig, and we've made racing as important as a fight on the front stretch. You know, they stir it up every weekend in commercials. I mean, we fight just as much as hockey, man. I mean, you know, so how do you all of a sudden draw that line, or does it just need to go away completely in our sport?
Well, for years in our sport, and I know I've said it, and I know you've said it, we need to let the boys be boys. But this takes it to a whole nother level. And I'm as a man, I'm glad that he stepped up and pressed charges, because that shouldn't have happened. But we've allowed it because, like we just said, we've allowed the let the boys be boys mentality, and it's come back to bite us in the ass. Sometimes on a local level, and sometimes obviously on a national level. So I don't know what else you want to talk about. I'm going to read what you sent me while you sent through quick.
Yeah, there's actually limited information on the Haley Deegan topic. I believe that maybe the information that after investigating a little bit more may actually be premature. It's not been officially reported. But I sent you basically what some of the latest comments were on Twitter so that you could for yourself see that it's not something that you know, it is a legit theory right now that's what's going on. In the situation, I'm sure it was leaked because of the severity of it, you know, and what an eye opener that we're, you know, putting these kids in these sports and exposing them on social media, building their accounts and their fan base at a very early age, and that this could even happen, that it was even enough. I mean, you know, I'm sure that women, unfortunately, have to deal with one or two creeps in their life as they go through, and it's probably a lot easier now so that social media is around to stalk people and maybe send them something that they shouldn't have. So, you know, it's just what an eye-opening situation that this actually happened to someone in our sport that we love. And, you know, that's probably one of the most messed up things I've ever heard of in the motorsports world, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked. I was sitting here in shock while you were telling it, because I just couldn't fathom it. But you're absolutely right. You said it. You hit the nail on the head. We have built these kids up with their social media accounts, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever they are, whatever they're using, because they're either a local celebrity or they're a national, you know, not too many people don't know who Haley Deacon is.
In the motorsports world, you're exactly right.
You know, if you're in the motorsports world, you know who she is. So you build up everything, and then this kind of stuff happens. This is enough to deflate her. I mean, obviously she's going to have, she still has sponsor commitments and things like that, but this could definitely play with her psyche as far as her racing goes. And who knows? We may have lost I don't really want to use this phrase, but the next best thing since sliced bread. We may have just lost the next Janet Guthrie.
Yeah.
Or because of...
Hey, and you can throw whatever you want to at Danica Patrick. There was a lot of little girls their fathers were race fans, and they were raised into a household of racing that, you know, it made their day. As much as we've said about Danica Patrick, as much trash as we've talked, there was obviously a whole generation that looked up to her, and we're seeing that now with a lot of these female racers.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't discount what she did. I bust on her because of the amount of race cars she wrecked. But,
right.
You know, as far as what she brought to the sport of NASCAR and racing in general, there and I'm not even talking sponsorship dollars. I'm talking a new awareness. I don't really want to compare her to Dale Earnhardt, but
she is a rock star, man. We're talking about Danica Patrick. She is a world figure. She's not just old, you know, race car driver figures. Danica Patrick is known around the world. GoDaddy, the branding of Danica Patrick, it was intended for her to be a global star. And as for female athlete / motor / entertainer, she ranks up there at the top, buddy. Danica Patrick ranked up there at the top and had that kind of influence. And now we're realizing with this report or this rumor, you know, and that's what it is. It's a rumor. Until we hear official accounts from the Deegan camp, or, you know, until we hear something officially, it is nothing more than a rumor. But it's an eye opener. It's a hold up. Where are we going here? And I'm concerned just as much. And the reason why these three topics are together is because I like women in motorsports, Craig. I like women being in motorsports. I like the fact that woman can put a helmet on and drive against the best. And then she's just as capable. There's a lot of sports where you cannot put a woman into the same field or into a ring are in, you know, and expect there to be a level playing field. And I know that I'll probably take heat for that. But, I'm with Joe Rogan. You know, the women were born with different structures than men. And I'm not going to get myself in any more deep trouble, because I'm going to tell you right now that I like women in motorsports. I think it's great. I think that motorsports is 99% mental. You have to have a fast car, you have to have a good crew, and you have to have a strong team, you know.
Other than that, it was sponsorship dollars, right? A strong team, sponsorship dollars, and a fast race car. That's a deadly combination, Craig. And whether you're male or female, you are on an even train the moment that you have all three of those together. Skill, money, and a good team. You know? That's what it takes.
Well, and I agree with you. I think women in motorsports is a phenomenal thing. And not to get off topic, but next week we have a young lady joining us either at the 8 o'clock hour or 8:35 hour, probably 8:35, Kathy Bellin. She raced a Sportsman Modified here in upstate New York, and she's a hell of a wheelman. And, you know, I like seeing her race. She works full time. She's a single mother. She takes care of her daughter. Her daughter's name is Chloe, and the name of her race car is the Chloe Express.
Right.
We're gonna learn more about her next week. But you know, you gotta
Aaron
have these
Gomes
women in
motorsports. Rear tire. His tire changer, rear tire changer, is David Nikase. His sister Stephanie Nikase Cooper is a weekly winner down at Hattiesburg Speedway. And she has a fan base that's unreal. You know, women belong in motorsports, Craig Moore.
Absolutely.
But this
Absolutely.
Activity does not belong in motorsports. This creepiness, and then also a woman should not hit a man. Two men should not sit out there and box. That's right. But a woman should not. She should be real careful in this situation because she's literally asking that driver whether or not he wants to throw his career away, whether he
Absolutely.
Wants to throw his life away.
He has
a lot more on the line than she does being the instigator. And that is not a safe situation. You back somebody in the hole, you're going to back the wrong one in that hole, right? And what's going to happen? We already know what's going to happen. My God.
They're going to strike.
And if that were to happen, it would be just like the night that Tony Stewart had a bad wreck. Well, you know, there was something bad that happened. Okay, and it was on every news outlet and everything around. But thank goodness these two incidents with the fighting and, you know, the Natalie Decker, it went mainstream. I'm not sure about the Bowman Gray Stadium topic. And obviously there's kind of a lid that's maybe being put down on the Haley Deegan story. But at the same time, neither one of those atmospheres is acceptable. And I can go either way with the with the fighting because of the situation that it creates. But, you know, Craig, it's tough to say on the other side. It's just pure creepiness, and there's not really any way to defend that.
No, because, and I know just from, you know, with our Cameron, we just allowed him to get on Facebook, and we pretty much monitored what he does on his Facebook page because he's 15, he's going to be 15 years old.
Right.
And, you know, we monitor his Snapchat, we monitor his Facebook, and, yeah, most of the time I'll send him a message on it because I'll see he's online, and when I get home from work, I'm like, you didn't see my message? He goes, no, I wasn't on it. He goes, I only went on it because you and Mom are on it. And I'm like, oh, okay. But, you know, that's you're gearing these kids up for that, like you said. And lo and behold, now we got some creeper.
Yeah.
And that's definitely not cool. So,
yeah, but if I was, and I hope that they, if this find, I hope that this is becomes an investigation, and I find that there, if they could somehow pinpoint who and where, that obviously legally there's got to be something that can be done about this, and I hope that it scares off. I hope that we all just take a minute to realize what's going on here, and never stop trying to protect our children. As a father, and you're a father as well, I'm not going to wake up on their 18th birthday and just think that they're grown all of a sudden.
No. As a matter of fact, getting back, because I turned 18 in November, and he posted some things on Facebook I didn't necessarily agree with the other day, and I sent him a message, and, you know, I said, son, I said, you didn't do anything wrong as far as you're concerned, but the pictures that you posted, I don't know if I would have posted them. And he says, what do you mean? So we talked about it. And that was, you know, I said, now it's up to you whether or not you take them down. You're 18 years old. Technically, you are an adult. But I don't think they look good.
Yeah.
And I said, now the decision is totally up to you because you're 18 years old. I can't tell you what to do. I can only suggest. I'm highly suggesting that you... And that's his choice. And I do the same thing with my 27-year-old daughter. She thinks she posts, and honey, you probably shouldn't post that. That doesn't look good.
Right.
All right. Guys.
I think we all do that as a family anyway. You know, you watch what your family members post, and sometimes you get told to mind your own damn business. But you know, that's once again the choice of the person that's doing it, as long as they're, you know, old enough to do that. So I guess to close that kind of topic out, yeah, that's always just be aware, because there's things everywhere that we have to watch out with these kids.
Absolutely. So
on to New Hampshire. First of all, though, before we go to New Hampshire, I want to say that obviously after this week of racing, there may be a positive outlook right now on the package that we're running. It seemed to have had a lot of excitement in the Cup race, a kind of a snooze fest for the Xfinity Series. The truck race is always never a disappointment. The new package seems to be working out really well. And I tell you what, with that kind of racing, I don't see why the sport can't be on the up and up. On to New Hampshire, man. I mean, here we go.
We're going to a flat track. This is,
yeah, buddy.
I like flat tracks. I like New Hampshire. Hamlin wins. I mean, he's not my pick this weekend, but I'd like to see him win just because he has a fetish. I don't know what you call it when you're afraid of seafood, but
he doesn't want to touch the lobster.
And he does it grudgingly, and
you're breaking up. You're breaking up bad.
Can you hear me?
You were coming in a little bit there, yeah.
Okay. He when Kyle Busch won a few years to them and said, put it back to where you got it. I will not eat it. I love lobster. I love seafood. But I will not eat my trophy.
Yeah.
And, whereas Denny doesn't want to touch it at all. And part of me wants to see Denny win it, not because he needs another win to help him in the chase, but just so that we can see his reaction in victory lane. It makes watching that, on note, before we get to talking more about New Hampshire, Stuart Friesen is on his way to Orange County. They're running tonight for the race. And if history has a way of doing it, he should win tonight, because he seems to win on the dirt but can't get it done on the asphalt. And then Saturday night, he will be here in Fonda. So we are not going to Fonda. We are not going anywhere near, well, I say this now, but we're not going anywhere near where there's not going to be water to get in, to get into.
Yes.
You know, because it's going, like I said, it's going to heat index is going to be like 112. And, yeah, I won't swim in the Mohawk River. So I don't know what's in there. But he'll be back in this area. He's in Orange County tonight. He'll be in tomorrow, Saturday, and probably, I don't know where he's racing Friday night. But, you know, I'm hopeful that he's going to get it done sooner or later. I mean, he's got a nice little, he's barring anything major, he has got a nice cushion where he's going to. So, four or five races to go till the cutoff. It's hard to believe they were to the playoffs. And in the next couple of weeks on Race Chat Live here, folks, we're going to give our picks as to who we think will make it round to round to round, and we're hoping to get we'll try to get it that Mr. CJ Sports.
Oh, we're gonna do a little bracketology.
Yes, and then I just come up with that off the top of my head. We'll get Mike the intern to join us maybe. He's still learning about racing, so this ought to be fun. Maybe we could get some other people from the 110 to join us as well, and we can have a bracketology discussion, roundtable discussion one night as to who we think is going to advance and who is ultimately going to pick up the big, fancy, heavy trophy. In let's see, where is the award ceremony this year? Is it still out in Vegas?
I think it may be in Nashville this year. If not, then we have one more year to go in Vegas, and then it'll be in Nashville. But I think it is in Nashville this year. Did you hear me? So we were talking about Denny Hamlin a minute ago, and the racing future odds for this weekend put Denny Hamlin at number 5. And surprise, 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 Craig Moore, we've got the big three back. Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., and Kevin Harvick are the top three favorites to win. A 5-2 odd by Kyle Busch. No surprise there. A 7-2 odd by Martin Truex Jr. And 11-2 odd by the happy Harvick.
Scares me with happy because he's not done a whole lot of this year.
Brad Keselowski is fourth on that list, 8-1.
He's not done a whole lot this year, Mr. Harvick. He's obviously got any clues. That's kind of, should we say, ballsy? To even have him in the top 5?
Well, no. I mean, I think Vegas expects Harvick to turn it around. I mean, he's not been terrible. So, you know, he's not been knocking on the door either, though, and that is concerning coming from the Stuart Haas racing camp, especially since we're halfway through the season already. We've seen speed from Amarola. We've seen speed from Suarez. We've seen speed from Bowyer. You know, he was running second in that Daytona before the wreck. We've seen Harvick have a lot of bad luck this year. I don't think that his Ford is slow. I think he's had a lot of bad luck this year. And a lot of times, you know, bad luck starts when your car is slower than what it should be. Are they behind? I think so. I think, you know, you go half the season without a single win from the organization after winning 12 wins last year.
There is a reason for concern. Is it time to hit the panic button? We're real close. I almost dropped the F-bomb. We're real close. We're real close to the panic button. I'm not saying that these guys aren't going to make it in the playoffs, but if they stink, they stink. And right now, you know, two out of the four drivers, it being Eric Amarola and Kevin Harvick, I think they're okay, but Clint Bowyer and Daniel Suarez, they're in trouble. And without a win, they're going to be even in more trouble. So, actually, Suarez is not even – he's not in the top 16. I think he's 18th or 19th in points.
Who's that, Suarez?
Yeah.
Daniel Suarez is 9th or 8th. Is tied with 7 times at 14th.
Yeah, Bowyer. Yeah, he's had a long slide downhill.
If the playoffs started this weekend, Jimmy would be seated 15th. Eric Jones would be seated 15th. Clint Bowyer would be seated 14th. And, you know, Jimmy's got to do something, and he's got to do something quick.
Jimmy's got to do is win. All he's got to do is win, man.
It's easier said than done.
Very true.
And he's proven it. It's just like Harvick. Right now, he's third in the points. If the playoffs were to start today, he'd be seated. So he's losing a half a spot. He's losing 3 spots. You know, it's scary right now. Kurt Busch going in, and I want to go back to Kurt Busch in a couple of minutes, but he's sitting 7th currently in points. And if the chase were to start this weekend in New Hampshire, he would be 7th in the playoffs. Getting back to Kurt, he said something interesting in his victory lane speech, and I'm not quoting him here, but he's having fun. And, yes, this was a one-year deal, but with the right funding coming together for both him and Kyle Larson's in a contract year, too. Kurt Busch said that last night on one of the shows. He's in a contract year, too. So they're hoping to have both of those wrapped up. And they're hoping that, you know, he doesn't know whether or not, and you said it earlier, he doesn't know whether or not this is going to be his last season. But you bet your ass that they're working hard to keep him at Chip Ganassi. Why? He's a 40-year-old man, and he's doing a hell of a lot better than his younger counterpart.
So a few years ago, we rushed a guy out of the sport. Matt Kenseth, and now we're trying to keep the old guy. I don't get it. I mean, has the turnover rate changed that much? I mean, has the atmosphere changed that much? You know, I'm not taking anything away from Kurt Busch. I'm actually saying, you know, we ran Matt Kenseth out of the sport. We ran Greg Biffle out of the sport. You know, did we run these old guys out too quick? I think we did. And so, you know, I guess I'm more pulling for Kurt Busch that he does keep him a good ride. I know that he doesn't want to go back to the dweller teams. I know that if he's not in a competitive ride, at least as competitive as Chip Ganassi or something to that effect, he's probably not going to be interested in it. But we obviously seen there that he's not done yet. He can still get it done. And he got it done by beating the best out there. So why would we want to see Kurt Busch exit the sport? And I hope that Monster Energy doesn't exit the sport. I think that they've been a great asset for NASCAR and a great cross-branding. You know, Monster fits in NASCAR. And I hope that they plan on staying and sponsoring the Outlaw, sponsoring Kurt Busch, and continuing their support of the sport now that NASCAR has decided to go another way with their title sponsor.
Yeah. I think I too think that they are a good fit for Kurt Busch. And just like Nas Energy Drink is a good fit for Kyle. You see Kyle Busch, you'll always see him with a Nas Energy Drink. Now, granted, he's probably making $200-$300 every time he takes a sip of that shit. But I don't remember the old. I don't remember as far as every time they took a swing.
You break it up, drinks.
That's why you'd see them take so many drinks during an interview, because they were getting compensated for it.
Right, with contracts.
Right, with their contracts. So, okay, I hate to see a good sponsor on that leave the sport. That would change for Chip Ganassi, obviously. That would be a huge hit to Chip's pocketbook. And a huge detriment to Kurt's career. Because I really think Kurt's got a couple more years in him. If he's got a good team, and he's cultivating this team, this one team. He's getting them. He got them to victory lane. So now they're winners in the NASCAR series. And the top series, they're winners. That's got to do a lot for their confidence. As far as, hey, we race the best each and every week, and we beat the best that there is. So if we can do it one time, we should be able to do it two times. And, you know, that's fuel to their fire. And I really hope that they can maintain it. And then Monster Energy says, hey, we believe in you guys. Regardless of the title sponsorship changing hands, we believe in you, and we're going to stick around. Because that would be a huge detrimental loss. So, what else would you like to chit chat about, my friend?
Well, I break news off of TobyCrisp.com. I'll read the article. There's something peculiar happened when Austin Dillon, number 3, Richard Childress Racing Team Hauler, arrived at New Hampshire Motor Speedway on Thursday. The gold rig was void of any Dow chemical branding. The chemical supplier has been a major sponsor of the number 3 team in Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series since Austin Dillon's rookie season in 2014. Additionally, a poke around RCR's website says the Dow Chemicals has been removed from the official team partner page. But wait, didn't that team just announce a few weeks ago that Dow Chemicals had just signed an extension sponsor to the number 3 car in 2020? Yep. According to Bob Pockers, the team says they still have a contract with the company for 2020. This is interesting and it becomes even more intriguing if the familiar Dow logo doesn't return by the season. Wow.
I wonder what that's all about. I wonder why the logo is no longer on the hauler. You're obviously not going to see it on the car. There's got to be more to it, and maybe we'll hear more about it in the next couple of days, if not before Sunday's race at New Hampshire for the I think it's the New Hampshire 301. We'll hear about it Monday or Tuesday through the news wires. But that's definitely interesting news, if you will. And my computer just...
Well, you know, we like the terminology Big J journalism around here, and that's it. We didn't do the journalism, but we got to tell you about it. So, very interesting situation going on.
Losing you, Chris.
Yeah, you're breaking up. Oh, I might have had my finger over my mic. I'm sorry. But, yeah.
You
were. He's the demise of Arthur Ross. King information. What it looks like from now is that Dow on the car for the conclusion of the 2019 race season. We'll find more details as we get later on into the week and more comes out about the story. But as for the picks tonight, Craig, are we ready for that?
Yeah, I'll let you go first. Beauty.
Well, I was
going to
let you go first.
Well, beauty before age.
Oh. So I'm waiting. No. So let's see. I'm going with my hot hand. I'm going with Joey Logano, buddy.
Get your hand away from the microphone.
Yeah, Joey Logano.
Wow. Well, I'm going to go with somebody that really needs a win. Needs a shot in the arm. He drives for another hothead. And he doesn't drive for Kyle Busch because Kyle Busch does not. Oh, and I want to bring that up real quick after we're done making our picks. He does not drive. He does not own a Monster Energy Cup Series team. He drives for Mr. Tony Stewart. He drives for Smoke. And I'm going to go with Kevin Harvick. He needs to get out of this rut. And I think that New Hampshire is the place that he's going to do it. And that's all there is to it. I think that he's going to get it done. And then when we talk again next Thursday, or actually Sunday night after the race on Sunday night, you're going to message me and say, I'm not worthy. Because I have just given you your winner. Of Sunday.
I tell you what, Craig. Kyle Busch, if you're almost better off betting that Kyle Busch does not win the Cup Championship, he is now a 3-1 favorite to win the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series Championship. A 3-1 favorite. Out of 16 drivers that we know will be in the playoffs, he is a 3-1 favorite. That's unheard of. But, wow. I mean, I don't even know what to say. That's a lot of, it would almost pay you better to bet against him than it would be to pay for him, to bet on
him.
Oh, God, yes. And, as for the Xfinity race, the big three going on right now in the Xfinity is Christopher Bell, Cole Custer, and Tyler Reddick. But Paul Menard is the only Cup driver that I see that is going to be in the Xfinity race. There is a long shot on the odds favorite, and that's Shane Lee, a 200-1 odds favorite. I wonder how he got his name on this list. It's only about 15 names on the list for the Xfinity odds, but who's your favorite this week in the Xfinity series?
I'm going to go Tyler Reddick.
The redhead from California.
I believe he's going to get it done on the East Coast, and he's going to get it done in New Hampshire. And I just think the kid is fire right now. And until that's put out, maybe somebody dumps him in the Atlantic Ocean, I don't know, and puts his fire out, I think that he's going to be your winner this weekend. And it's going to, when they get into the playoffs in a couple of weeks, he's going to be your car to beat.
Yeah, Tyler Reddick, wow. That's going to leave Dale Jr. and Kelly Earnhardt scratching their heads for a long time. How did we let that kid get away? He's going to make them pay for it, and, you know, that's how it works. As Kyle Busch, Mr. Hendrick, you know, he might have sold a lot of T-shirts from Dale Jr., but Joe Gibbs gets to hang the trophies, right, when he took a chance on Kyle Busch, right? I mean, seriously, right? Dale Jr. helped Hendricks sell a lot of T-shirts and a lot of memorabilia, but there's nothing like those trophies that would have been in the Hendrick, you know, at the Hendrick camp instead of over at the shop at Joe Gibbs. So, you know, Kyle Busch, pay for it.
Now, I don't know if you heard Kyle Busch on Motor Mouth last night, but I did. And he was asked if he would have interest, and I don't remember if it was a caller that called in or if it was Kyle or what's the other guy's name there? Rutledge Wood. I don't remember which one it was. It could have been Nate Ryan, one of the three. I asked him if he had any interest in owning a Cup Series team. And he just looked at him and said, Are you nuts? That's crazy. He says, with the way that the cars are changing and the cost of these cars now to build and put together and maintain, he says, that's just crazy. He says, and then they asked him if he would be willing to be a partner in a race team if Mr. Gibbs so wanted to do that. And he says, well, he goes, I do a lot of things now that I don't want to do.
Mm.
And
like owning a truck series team.
What's that?
I said like owning a truck series team.
Yeah. Well, Joe will call him up and say, hey, I need you to go and go to this sponsor appearance. He says, that's not my sponsor. He says, Kyle, I need you to jump on a plane, and I need you to go to the sponsor appearance. Joe, that's not my sponsor. Kyle, I need you to jump on a plane and go to a sponsorship appearance. Okay, Joe, what time do I have to be there? So it's not his sponsor, but he's going to the sponsorship because he is the face of Joe Gibbs Racing.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, as a business owner, I'm going, you're telling your boss you're not doing something? And then I'm like, well, you know, he's got a point. It's not his sponsor. What does it do for him? Oh, wait, it still helps fund his race team. Why is he even arguing this? But, you know, the boss
Kyle
in me.
Busch.
Yeah, because he's Kyle Busch. And he can argue, and he can argue it. But he doesn't win the argument because Joe Gibbs insists. He doesn't get a choice. Now, that says a lot about his other drivers and how he feels about them. Apparently, he doesn't trust his other drivers on these appearances. And they're probably their sponsor. But they're sending Kyle. So he says, I do a lot of things for Joe Gibbs Racing that isn't aligned with the number 18. He says, so in a way, I am a secret partner. He says, I'll also get told, Kyle, I need you to go test this car. I don't want to test the car. Kyle, I need you to go test the car. And he goes and does it. So, you know, he has no inclination of doing a cup car because he sees how much money he's lost in the truck series. And, you know, the sponsorships obviously in the truck series aren't as great as they are in the cup series. So I wonder how much of Kyle Busch fortune is dwindling away after each and every truck race. Because he has 3 trucks, I believe. So, but that was an interesting tidbit about Kyle and how he has no desire to be a Cup Series owner, even though he sees himself as a partner in Joe Gibbs Racing, even though he's technically not.
Right.
But yet,
well,
those are my.
Greg Moore, we're coming up at a time where there this new generation 7 car, the new motor program, these teams are going to need, if not $1 billion, $500 million. And the competitive ones will probably spend damn near $1 billion. Now, when you're buying a franchise like the Carolina Panthers or like the New York Giants, you're going to pay around this price, if not a little bit more, for that franchise. But these teams are going to have that much money put into the sport to get out these new programs that NASCAR has coming. That is a lot of money, Craig, that is mainly going to be on the shoulders of sponsors. And it's going to take a lot of sponsors for each of those teams to come up with $500 million.
Oh, absolutely.
It may take them, 5 years to bring out the Generation 7 car and then to roll out the new hybrid motor. But guaranteed, Craig Moore, we're talking about money that's, not ever been spent before in the sport, as we also talk about cutting costs in racing. I mean, it's every time you start trying to cut costs, what happens? You wind up paying more. So kind of the way it seems to be with taxes too. But Craig,
yeah.
It's been great tonight, and I'm really stoked about our show next week. We had a week off last week, so we're going to keep things rolling. It's mid-year. We've still got a lot of racing in front of us. Of course, we're racing at Hattiesburg Speedway tomorrow night. It's the Dixie 50. Super late models are going to be the main event. And then we're the championship races, Mississippi State Championships, Saturday night at Why Not. Grandstand tickets are $15. So support your local tracks. And, Craig, you've said a couple of racetracks that are racing up there.
Yeah, we have Malta, obviously, Friday night. Saturday night is anyway. And then big shout out to Chad Edwards. I know you remember him. He was on our show with us last year. The Lunchbox Man. He won last week at Fonda. So I want to congratulate him and his whole team at Spencer Racing. And then Harry Shea in the resurrected Brookfield Speedway in Brookfield, New York last week. He was so confused, he didn't even know he won. So I think I posted that video or that on the Race Chat Live page. But let's get out and support you. Do what you got to do this weekend. Make sure you stay hydrated. It's going to be a hot one. And be sure to check us out on Facebook at Race Chat Live, on Twitter as well. And next week we have Miss Kathy Bellin joining us. She lives in Mayfield. She lives in Mayfield, just far from the Morty Music Compound. She'll be joining us next week, and we'll be talking about her racing career. She got started, and how her car got named the Chloe Express. So you're going to want to tune in for that next Thursday night. And then we have a short turnaround. It's almost like we have a couple of rain delays. We have a rain out because we'll be back with you that coming Monday night because of the Truck Series race in over at Tony Stewart's facility over in Ohio. So join us next Thursday night for Race Chat Live as we welcome Kathy Bellin. And Chris, if you will email me your message me your email. I will send you her bio so that way you're up to speed.
Sounds good to me, man. All right, buddy. Great fan. Well, we thank you for listening. Of course, give us some feedback if you listen to the show. And y'all have a great weekend. Support your local track. Goodbye.
Goodbye.